Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about the mystery of land investing solved. Okay, so you guys, this is your show number 1201, and you're going to talk
just
about
now?
Something as basic as the mystery of land investing solved. Here's the deal. No one understands land investing. Nobody.
And it took us to show 1201 to figure it out.
I can talk about this till I'm blue in the face with some of the most successful real estate investors that I've ever met. And they just don't understand the value of land investing for a lot of different reasons. And we'll explore it during the show.
It cracks me up.
Me too.
I love it. The people, they look every time, like, especially, it's usually we're out, it's somebody in the industry, and we tell them what they do, and then there's, you could see this pause, and then they go, and you make a living doing this? And then when they get to know us, they're like, whoa, you guys make quite a nice living doing this, so what am I missing? And that's right, they're missing something.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the show. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of the members. One of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Brandon wrote, just one of you guys still price properties on LandWatch, like your original version number one of the cash flow from land program suggests, just below market price. And then when any buyers come calling, you say, hey, I have a sale right now for X percent off if you buy. I see, which is a little bit not always do. I'm a little confused here, but we'll fix this. I see everybody just posting their actual sale price in LandPin and then stating 50% off market or whatnot. Is this the way to go on LandWatch, Facebook, Craigslist, etc.? Just wondering how people approach this right now.
I think he's got it pretty good. Brandon's got it nailed. He's asking us, what he's really asking is, do you guys still do it the same way as the original program? And the answer is yes. We buy the property crazy, crazy cheap, 20-25% of what I would call retail value. And then we post it for sale for 50 or 60 or 70% of retail value. That way we mark it up twice and the buyer still gets a smoking deal.
Right.
In some cases, makes more money than us.
But what we don't do is show that our price, we don't put the price normally 10,000 and then put, but today only 50% off at 5,000.
Yeah.
We just put it out there at 5,000. That just happens to be our sale price.
And what you're referring to is other mm-hmm. members posting it on LandPin or anywhere else that says, hey, this property's 50% off the regular market price. That's not a sale.
Right.
That's just how we do business.
Right. It's way below everybody else.
Yeah.
That's it.
You got it. I mean, yeah. It's a great question. It's a confirmation question instead of, I'm really confused about X question.
Right.
So exactly. You're on the right track.
Yeah.
You just got to, you know, our youngest kid just learned to drive, and this is what I told him. If everybody just followed the rules on the road, there would never be any problems. Not that I do this personally. Follow the speed limit. If the stop sign says stop, actually stop. So that's the way it is with land investing.
That's a pretty little world you're describing there. Sounds like... Wow, our hats have changed. Like, that would be something I would say.
Do not drive like Jill. That's my point.
Well, I won't even say it. I'm like, I'm not even going to pretend.
You know, Jill and I have this great education community going on for houses and land and all kinds of stuff. If we had a how to drive community, like, we would not be very good teachers.
Oh, it'd be funny. You know, you know what?
We lead by example.
Well,
here.
Okay, wait. Let's explore this for just a second. I know what my class would be. Like, you know, mine would be how to avoid, be under the radar, driving, like, seriously, yours would be probably drifting 101 would be your classes or something like that, right?
My class would be called this. When it's appropriate to bend the rules of driving in California.
Okay. Obviously, my class would be, getting out of a ticket 101. knowing where the cops hide. to a level 200. Where you can floor it safely in a map.
We're kind of saying the same thing with a different title.
Okay, good.
If you're out on a country road somewhere right. And there's nobody around, that's when you break the rule.
Right. And, you know, when to brake, when to accelerate, when going in and out of a turn. Those are the classes I want.
Then I would teach a separate module for bicyclists, you know, pedal bikes.
Yes.
Who just don't believe that the traffic rules apply to them at all.
Yes.
This is going to be a rant. Oh, I can tell this is going to
my class would be, don't be that drunk in the middle of the street riding your bike.
That's what I'm saying.
400.
Again, different title, same class.
Exactly.
And if you're going to do that, make sure you do it at night and dress in black.
Okay, or my hair, right, exactly. Oh, no. My favorite is in a bikini and no helmet, no shoes.
That is a distraction. I have to admit.
It happens every year here. It's called 4th of July. I'll tell you right now, between 1 and 3 o'clock, you're right, you will find a plethora of girls drunk in bikinis, no shoes, just riding their bikes in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing? Are you trying to get killed? So it's funny.
You know, it sounds appealing when you put it like this in the middle of whatever this is, March.
Right.
But in reality, it's sad and I want to help.
It is.
When it happens.
It's like, I'm like, oh, come on. Come over here. Put the bag of Cheetos down. Come with me.
Here's a blanket. Put it on yourself.
Here we go.
Which, by the way, is probably like a felony.
Where's your purse? Where's your phone? You don't know. Why am I not surprised?
And talking to them is a felony. So okay. I don't recommend it.
Right.
Today's topic, the mystery of land investing solved. This is the meat of the show. Everywhere I go, people either get land investing or they don't. And I'll get to the differences in a second. But what we all agree on, all of us, is that buying cheap land or buying land that's undervalued for its current situation is the foundation of all successful real estate. And no one can dispel that statement. If you're, you know, how many times have you been involved in a real estate deal? If you're in the real estate industry, whether you're an agent or a broker or a commercial person, and I've many, many times after development deals done, I've heard people sit around and talk about, well, I didn't make any money on that deal, or if I did, I just made the management fee. The person who really made the money was the landowner. I've heard that statement 15 different ways, probably, you know, stated different ways, probably hundreds and hundreds of times in my life. I've been that person. Mm-hmm. I've been the person sitting at the table getting paid out. So buying an undervalued land is, there's nothing better than that. But when you start to say, hey, you're a land investor, I'm a land investor, this is what we do. We go buy this cheap land, it's real cheap, and then we sell it. It just baffles most people. Like, what do you mean you buy cheap land? Why would they have all these follow-up questions like, why would anybody sell a piece of property for less than it's worth? How do you find a deal? If I look on the MLS, there's no deals on there. Why would you want that property anyway? Fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. Jill's going to answer all those questions.
Going to touch on your first one you said, which is true. You're like, everybody knows that the guy who makes the most money is the guy who owns the land. It's not the guy who, you know, did the renovation. I mean, not all. That's really, really, that's true. And it ties back. People use the phrase location, 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 which is really kind of saying the same thing. It's about the land, right? It's not, no one says improvements, improvements, improvements. No one says, you know, modern kitchen, modern kitchen, modern kitchen. They don't say that.
You're right.
Beautiful color palette, beautiful, you know, whatever it is. You should have seen the kitchen.
Beautiful,
you
know? Color palette?
Right, I'm just trying to come up with funny things, seriously, but it's all the same thing. It's, because you know what? Whether you're talking about, I'm further hitting home your thing, because it was a really good point that you made. How important is the land? The land is going to put you in the right school district. The land is what gives you the view. The land is what gives you the room that you want for the house that you want. It all ties into the land, which is so good. So I like that point that you made. And then to take it to the next step, which is, guy, everybody gets so confused. It's so darn funny. And I think the number one reason everybody's so confused is flat out, they can't wrap their heads around with land. They sure can with any other product. Otherwise, Amazon wouldn't exist and things, you know, retail stores wouldn't exist. But they can't wrap their head around, we do the same thing with land. We just buy it low and sell it for more. That's kind of it, you know? And it's like, we shop for land like, man, if I was Walmart or Costco, how I would for products I shop to put in my store. I'm going to call all the vodka guys and all the wine people, whatever it is. I'm going to get the best price, and I'm going to have to boy, hit up more and more and more distributors until I get the price I want, that I can make the money I want and put it in my store. It's the same thing.
From an accounting perspective, Walmart operates under operational income. So does a manufacturing facility. And so traditionally, real estate's not, it's transactional income. And that's what everybody gets tripped up. Professional people in real estate, specifically commercial real estate, get tripped up on. And to which I say, who says we're transactional? We're not. We're operational income. It's what Jill just said. We approach this just like Walmart does, and we sell it online just like Walmart does. And over and over and over again, we manage our costs just like a retail operation. We manage our cost of goods sold, which is the actual product. Our inventory, we try labor. To balance it. Our how much money it costs from a labor overhead, all of it. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at it like a regular business, not like a, like most people in real estate look at everything as a transaction. Okay, great, I got this deal done. I bought it for 100, I sold it for 50, I made 50. No, you didn't at all. There's all kinds of other stuff involved. And if you do 50 of those really fast, now you might as well be selling ashtrays, which is how we approach this. So, and people don't understand that.
Thank you, that was beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, then the other real problem is, and this is what certain people in real estate, almost everyone I've ever talked to actually, can't get over. You can't apply a capitalization rate or however you value real estate. I love cap rate. Some people love a gross rent multiplier. I hear that out here for some reason with people who own apartment buildings all the time. You cannot apply that to land. There's no income, and it freaks them out. Right. If you go buy an apartment building, a 10-unit apartment building, everybody's got, it's being rented for out here, a good, real good number is between $1,500 and $2,500. Probably sounds a lot to you back east, but those are regular numbers in Los Angeles. You do the dog and pony calculation, multiply by 10% vacancy, and you get a 12-month actual rental income, your cost of operation, and you calculate whatever makes sense to you. In my case, a cap rate or a gross rent multiplier. With land, you're staring at, most people are staring at that apartment deal, and they're staring at a land deal, and say they can apply the familiar stuff. I get it, I'm gonna make a certain amount of money, here's the calculation, I can raise the capital. With land, because there's nothing, and they freak. And to me, I look at the land thing, and I'm like, I'm gonna buy this for 120 grand, I'm gonna sell it for 220, it's really worth 500. Why would I ever go through all the hassle of buying an apartment building and going through all this gross rent multiplier, raising the capital? And if you're in this business, you know what I'm talking about. So it makes complete sense to me, for whatever reason, makes complete sense to Jill, and the 500 Land Academy members that we have or so, makes complete sense to them.
Well, you know what does make sense too? Let's take a step back. How long will it take them to get that $120,000?
That's exactly right. And I look at it like that too. The way they look at it is this. Again, they apply all this crazy stuff. Well, I'm going to 1031 exchange my way up to my exit. So I'm going to buy this apartment building at a 6 or 8 cap. I'm gonna sell it for $120,000 net. Then I'm gonna put it into a 1031 exchange. I don't have to pay taxes for it. Never mind, you don't have to pay taxes if it's ordinary income anyway. Right. So now I've got 250, 300, 350, 400, and I'm 1031ing my way up to 10 million. Now I have 10 million in the bank. I'll pay the taxes on it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a long, long road filled with tears.
I love it. That's
where
so
you can
funny.
Sit down in your basement somewhere, right. Turn all the lights off, turn his computers on, buy a property for 100 grand, sell it for 200. Now right. I have 100,000 profit again right. and again and again. You can do that in 3 years to get to 10 million.
Right. So that's the way that people are confused, where they just don't understand not getting a monthly return, even as small as it may be. The other thing that I find people that are so confused by this is just the plain, simple fact that you don't have to improve the property. I don't have to do anything. People go, don't you put in power and roads? Nope. Do you do this? Nope. You mean you don't develop it? You're buying these infill lots. Aren't you building the house? Nope.
Well, what do you do, Jill? That's so special. You seem to have this figured out. Why do you mix? This is I'm make believe. These are cocktail party conversations we have, and then everybody just dissipates, and we stand there talking to each other.
It's true, but I swear that. But it doesn't stop. I know they wake up the next day and they go, "Huh," because it's right. It's just I buy it right. It's like
if buy it right.
That's it.
Just buy it right.
Just imagine. I'm a car dealer. You know, I'm going to go buy a car for $5,000, sell it for $10,000. It's worth $12,000 and I did nothing to it. I had a $20 an hour employee wash it. Big deal. People do this. And we all think that, we all know that makes sense. You know, it's the same with land. And you know what I do? Instead of washing it, right? I have pretty pictures made in a nice video. And that's it.
Come on, Joe. And I
put it in the front of the lot.
Come on, Joe.
And I have it. Oh, and I have good pictures of this pretty car that I bought at the auction. Big deal. I didn't even put new tires on it. They were fine. It didn't need it because it's a used car. It's a used car. And I just put it out there. And the right guy came along with his daughter, saw the value of this used car that I bought really well. And she's peachy. She's happy.
So then the conversation goes like this. That's a beautiful story, guys. And I congratulations.
Yeah.
How do you find deals how do you buy it that cheap? Mm. So everybody knows that if you buy it that cheap and sell it for more, you're gonna make a fortune. How do you get it that cheap? There's not enough property for sale to do that. I look around on the internet, nothing's for sale ever. And if it is, it's too expensive. So you guys can just keep walking.
Well, lucky for me, I have Steven. And Steven is the data pro. And you know what? He knows and makes real offers to all the people that have all the X fill in the blank products that I want, saying, look, if you want to load something, I'll buy this much for this price. And somebody's going to answer it and send it back. I'm sure that would work right now today, by the way. If you and I wanted to open some kind of random retail shop, man, I bet we would. Well, I could say I need X boxes. I have a retail shop and I'm selling this widget and I need boxes to put my widgets in. So I'm gonna go to every box manufacturer around here. We all know this would work. Okay, what's the number I'm gonna make? I need this many boxes, I'll give you this price. Somebody's gonna answer and
say
yes.
So let's say by some magical thing, which never happens in these conversations, they buy into the fact that sending a bunch of blind offers works. You know, we explain the numbers for every 3,000 or 4,000 units economy right now.
This is funny.
We buy a house, or for every 300, 400, or 500, we buy rural vacant land. Let's say just that they buy into that.
Right. And we double our money.
They never do.
They don't, but if they did.
A very small percentage do. And then the next question is, how would you possibly write out 10,000 offers? What do? Do you hire somebody overseas? So they can't get past a mail merge, the concept of bulk mail, why it's cheaper, why it's extremely efficient, and here's why. Here's my whole point to all of this right from the beginning. Everybody in real estate knows nothing about data.
It's true.
They don't see the power of data. They don't understand the power of reach. We are data people and tech people that happen to sell real estate. That's the product of us knowing a lot about data. That's where we lose 100% of the people, except for the people that are part of our group who find us. We don't find them.
That's true.
Just like real estate. They find us. We don't find them. We send it out there and see what comes back.
Do you know what's really funny? Where I thought you were going to go with this, because this happens too sometimes. At the very, very, very bitter end, they look at us and they understand and they go, all right, whatever it is, these guys are doing it. They're obviously killing it. It obviously works. I'm missing something. So then the follow-up final question is, Can I give you a couple hundred thousand dollars and you just do it for me? Because that happens.
Right.
That's the thing. I'm like, no, sorry. I don't need your money. I'm churning deals as fast as I can. And money is not the problem for any of us. Because a good deal, the money's there.
Everybody's two drinks in by now. Yeah. And they're either disgusted or really intrigued. And either way, nothing's going to happen the next day.
Right. And we're trying to get out of there. And then, you know what happens? I'll end it on this. I'm kicking myself for telling him what I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, we should just say we're consultants.
God darn it. Why did I share that? You know what? Next time someone thinks I'm a real estate agent, but some of my friends even say that. I'm not a real estate agent. I'm going to let them go with it because it stops all the questions. The
next time I go into any secondhand store, I'm going to look for like a Century 21 jersey.
There we go.
Like, because I wear this all the time and everybody asks. I'm going to start wearing like a Remax shirt.
There we go. I'll get you a gold jacket. That'd be good. Happy you could join us today. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're right next door on the House Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the House Academy Show is called What Good Are Real Estate Agents Anyway? You are not alone in your real estate ambition. What the hell good are real estate agents anyway, Jen?
Oh, I have something even better to share. But what good are they? I don't know.
Oh, you have something better? Go.
Oh, here's what I was going to share for the after show. For those of you who caught that, the noun, and you don't know what it is that Stephen used earlier in the show, I will define it for you. The word is ashtray.
What did I say?
You said ashtray. No, what's funny is I'm sure he's going, what's an ashtray? They aren't even in cars anymore.
I know.
What our car, any car made now or even in the last 5 years, I have not seen an ashtray. So I'm sure the kids are going, what's an ashtray? We all vape. Who has ashes?
Oh, sure.
Right?
I didn't even
Who
think of
has
that.
Ashes?
We all vape. No, we don't all vape, Jill, but.
Well, you know. I'm not saying we vape.
Oh, the
but
kids
I'm,
say that.
They vape. Anybody who smokes, because I've never smoked. And so I'm not a smoker and I've never had an ashtray. But growing up, my parents had ashtrays. Growing up, here's what would happen, boys and girls. When visitors would come to your house, if your parents didn't smoke, they would go into the cabinet or the drawer and they would get out ashtrays and they would put them out on the coffee table, on an end table. There would be an ashtray for your guests. And that was a place for people to smoke and lay down their cigarette during the conversation, pick up the glass of wine, and then pick up the cigarette and smoke. And it would be a place to fling the ashes. And then they would put the ash out. Because if you're not a smoker, too, you never use a bottle. You don't use a glass. You don't use a can. The diehard smokers get pissed off at that. I know because my best friend, roommate, was a diehard smoker. And she saw people doing that. Made her so mad. Use an ashtray. That's what it's
for. It's a fascinating little turn to this episode.
You like that? I just wanted to share that. I don't know why. I just thought it was funny because I'm like, who doesn't know? I'm sure a lot of people don't know what an ashtray is. Sorry. Anyway. The Land Academy Show remains commercial free for you, our loyal listener. And thank you for being loyal. And wherever you're watching, wherever you are listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.